Hi, and welcome to Okay But Listen. I'm Kellyanne.
And I'm Laura.
And the whole idea for this podcast came about because Laura and I do this thing where we text each other back and forth on a daily basis about actors we love and tropes we love and how we would like to see those two things come together, basically writing movies and television shows on our phones. Since we are not actually Hollywood powerhouses who can make those things happen.
As unbelievable and ridiculous as that sounds, it's sadly true.
Sadly true. So we have to content ourselves with shouting on our phones and sighing longingly over our lovely ideas that we can't actually bring to fruition. And there are so many things we would make if we had the ability.
So here we are, talking about them on the internet with you, as you do.
As you do. And obviously, the first thing we need to discuss is one of the best things to ever happen to us. Dwayne Johnson, a.k.a. The Rock, who is famous for being a professional wrestler and starring in a bunch of hit movies and also being one of the best Saturday Night Live hosts ever.
Yes.
He confessed in an interview that he has a huge crush on Hayley Atwell.
As we all do, because we have eyes and a heart. Thank
exactly.
you.
Yes. So she plays Agent Peggy Carter in the Marvel movies and the self-titled television show, which I'm sure everybody watched, right? Because it was great.
Please. Yeah.
And she, in general, just seems to be a really amazing and beautiful person. She's witty and smart, and she just seems so lovely.
Right? Okay, and because apparently God is real, that led to these two people having a Twitter exchange in which they confess their desire to work together, which is basically the greatest idea in 1,000 years, and without a doubt the best thing to happen to me in my life, and I'm sorry to my children, but I'm just keeping it 100.
I don't actually have any children, so I'm free and clear on that one. For me, it can just downright be the best thing to ever happen. So, by the way, you can find links to the interview and the Twitter conversation on the podcast blog at okaybutlistenpodcast.tumblr.com.
And it's important that you read this exchange because it's going to excite you. And if more people are excited about it, they might actually work together. And I'll be frank, the thought of them working together makes our brains melt because they would be amazing together.
Amazing. Amazing. So. And when you think about it, you could go the obvious route where they're both kick-ass action heroes, maybe make a Mr. and Mrs. Smith kind of film. But you know what I would actually love?
What's that?
A reboot of the Terminator franchise with Hayley as Reese.
Oh.
And The Rock as Sarah. So I guess we'll call him like Sam Connor.
Okay.
The sweet and hapless office worker who discovers he's the key to humanity's survival and he doesn't even know how to shoot a gun.
Yes! Oh, wait, okay. Let's make this, we're making it up, so let's just make this 1,000% awesome. Let's have Zoe Saldana as the Terminator.
Yes,
great.
Love it. Yes,
okay.
Perfect. Okay, and then at the end of this one, we'll do the sensible thing and have Reese and Sam both live.
Right.
Right? And they raise John Connor to be a kick-ass freedom fighter together. Because you do not miss with a good thing.
No, you do not. And while we're on the topic of good things, how about putting them in a rom-com reboot? But, okay, let's put a spin on something classic. And I'm thinking late 70s, the 80s, which you and I both know were the golden years for amazing romantic couples on TV, right?
Yes.
So I know you're already thinking what I'm thinking, so lay it on me.
Three words, heart to heart.
Yes!
Perfect. Okay, so for those of you who aren't familiar with it, Heart to Heart was this amazing 80s TV show about Jonathan and Jennifer Hart, who were played by Robert Wagner and Stephanie Powers.
By the way, they were this beautiful, wealthy, globetrotting couple who also happened to be, obviously, amateur detectives.
Right.
And every week, they'd go on a ski trip or sail their yacht to Greece or something and get caught up in some type of murder mystery.
And the real mystery of this whole show was how these two people were welcomed anywhere on the planet or had any friends left when people were constantly dropping dead around them. Like, everywhere they went, someone died every week. So For our version, let's subvert it, though. Haley is in the Jonathan role, right? The wealthy international businesswoman. And The Rock is in the Jennifer role. So she was a journalist, I think. So he could be like a florist or I don't know.
No. A food blogger.
Oh, yeah.
The Rock is a fussy food blogger. He's pissy and precise, yes. And he's super anal about presentation or something like that, because nothing makes me happier than big hyper-masculine men being actual fussy babies about things being just so. Okay, so let's also have him be like super into the importance of treating yourself once a week, indulgent dinner day, or you know, something like that.
Cheat day.
Yes, right.
Because in real life, The Rock actually does have cheat days, and he makes the most amazing posts about food on his Twitter. His cheat days involve, I am not even exaggerating, like 40 pancakes and 6 entire pizzas.
So true.
So I feel like this is a role that he would really, really come by naturally.
Absolutely. Okay, so in our reboot, this make-believe thing that we're coming up with, everyone thinks naturally that he's this personal trainer when he hits the gym. But if asked, he would say that he just exercises so he can eat what he likes.
Right, of course.
So, no. Even better, in one of these episodes, he has to pretend to be a personal trainer. Uh-huh. And he has no idea how that even works. So, and they do this so that they can infiltrate like a diamond smuggling ring that's working out of CrossFit gyms in some other country. Or Wait, no. Okay, so the hearts on the original show were always going off on these beautiful romantic vacations. So let's say that The Rock and Haley go to Hawaii.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm behind anything that includes swimsuits and fruity drinks. So, yes, let's put them in Hawaii at the CrossFit gym.
Yes.
To find the diamond smuggler.
Right. Okay, so they're in the gym. And Haley has to pretend to need his help lifting like at the squat machine or something so that she can whisper to him, the diamonds are in the front pocket of the villain's duffel bag. Then the villain sees this, acts sketchy, makes a move. She has to immediately run over and karate chop him while The Rock is stuck holding up the weighted bar. And he's struggling with it after Haley handled it easily like just 2 seconds before.
Okay, this is beautiful. You are like speaking to my heart about The Rock struggling to hold up this bar.
Yes. Okay.
So, you know what else, though, I really want in this? I want each episode to have a B plot involving some kind of like ingredient he's trying to get his hands on or a recipe he's trying to perfect.
Yes.
Like the souffle keeps collapsing, or
right.
containers of creme fraiche, and then someone steals his car, or he has to ditch his shopping cart in the store when he gets a text from Haley that there's been a murder at their home in Aruba, so he has to meet her on their private jet in 20 minutes.
I love it. Okay, so, but wait a minute. What if the final scene of every episode is the two of them sitting down to eat whatever it was that The Rock was trying to make, and he finally does. So it's both of them looking poised and put together, and not at all like they just defused a bomb or, you know, crawled out of like a collapsed coal mine.
Right? Because that happened all the time on the show, you guys.
Every
this
week.
This is actually for real. And I know because I still watch this show regularly in reruns.
It's genius.
So obviously, right, their butler / bodyguard. Okay, wait.
Okay.
Oh, we totally forgot about Max, who is going to play Max, because he's the only other main character on the show, aside from the dog.
Freeway!
Yes. Okay. In an ode to the original, maybe that's like the only character we leave alone. A dog named Freeway.
Okay? Yes.
So I think for Max, like, I would die happy to see Patrick Stewart as Max. Super dryly sarcastic butler who was maybe Haley's nanny or something when she was a kid.
Yes. Okay, so Patrick Stewart will bring them a note on his little silver tray, because in the 80s, that was the sign of opulence, was a silver tray with a big reveal. So Haley will take this card that was probably like handwritten by Patrick Stewart before coming out. So she'll pick it up and she'll read it. The rock sitting at the end of their long mahogany table, he'll sigh and he'll eat another spoonful of his creme brulee and say, "I thought you said we had the night off." And Haley will set her napkin down after touching it delicately to the corner of her mouth and say, "Unfortunately, crime never sticks to a schedule, darling."
Brilliant. Yes. And then we cut to next time on Heart to Heart.
Right. Exactly. Oh, wait. Okay. Say we can't get them to commit to this TV series.
Okay. The idea that they would turn this down is, frankly, baffling. But, right. You know, it might happen. Maybe they're busy. They have other commitments.
Right. So, TV shows take up a long time to make. Right. So, I would settle for a single television movie. Like the kind you find on Lifetime or the Hallmark Channel.
Yes.
Okay. So it's the kind that have titles like An Angel and a Carpenter, starring a handsome actor who plays a single dad come to town to grieve his dead wife and raise, you know, their plucky 7-year-old.
Oh, who is probably a precocious little girl named Charlie, right? Oh, she has to be named Charlie. Perfect. And mm-hmm. is like the star pitcher of the Pee Wee baseball team. And the love interest, also mm-hmm. played by an incredibly pretty actress.
Yes.
She owns, like, the town bakery, and mm-hmm. she's kind of harried and always struggling to keep the beautiful but falling into disrepair building from actually falling down.
Perfect. Oh, okay. So he shows up and does some repairs, and in exchange, she bakes this amazing cake for Charlie's birthday. And then... Romance.
Absolutely. Yes. Like those, that's the kind of thing. So let's say The Rock is living in a quaint little town that's small, but not too small, with a quaint little small town name like Beaver Valley.
And
he's a stonemason/artist who creates amazing art pieces using found materials like old doors and stuff that he comes across like in his day job. And mostly he just gives them away or donates them to the town or, you know, for the Girl Scouts yearly auction to raise money for a police dog or whatever. But the ones he has left, he just like puts out on his lawn under a tarp strung in a tree.
Oh,
and he just sells them to people who pass by for like $100 or maybe if you don't even have $100, he's like, 50's fine.
Right, because it's all about his art and connecting with people. Okay.
Right.
So, but then what happens is some tourist passing through buys one and takes it home to New York City with their fudge and their saltwater taffy and their sand flea bites.
Right, because those are the four things you take home.
Yes, always.
Right? And the result is... A year later, Haley shows up in Beaver Valley, and she wants to buy more of The Rock's art. She wants, like,
all
of his art.
Wait, so is the tourist the gallery owner? He's a gallery owner?
That would work, too. Like, the biggest, hottest gallery in New York City, and his G6 emergency landed in Beaver Valley. And he wandered around for a few days, you know, just kind of taking in small town life. And then he bought this thing from The Rock. And maybe he put it in his house at first. And then people were so nuts for it, he actually just, like, put it in the gallery. And now here we are. Fast forward. Haley's traveling there to buy more. And she simply must have all of it.
Perfect. Okay, so The Rock is clearly confused. I mean, he's making art out of old doors. And then, it's from his heart, though.
They're
old doors from
the
his heart.
The art is from his heart.
It's his fabulous. Heart art. It's his heart art. Yes. Okay, so he's confused. And then as she's talking, he is appalled. Because this is all about commodifying, and he has his heart art, okay? So she tells him his art should be in galleries in New York and London, and he's like, "Oh, I hope not."
Of course he is. So, sadly, Haley's boss... He's just not deterred by this at all. He tells her she has to stay there until she convinces him to change his mind.
Oh, and she knows she can.
Oh, yeah.
She knows it. She's persistent, and she is tough, and she once rode up a mountain on the back of a mule to get that weirdo hermit distant Kennedy relative to sell her his wood carvings.
Right.
So she can, She can do this. So she's going to check into the Shady Meadow bed and breakfast, and then she gets to work trying to get him to change his mind.
Okay, this is going to be a big job. This is a big job, right? Right. But she is so lucky because this bed and breakfast is right across the street from where the town is currently building a new community center.
Oh, perfect. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Oh, oh. And The Rock, being a stonemason, is working on it.
Exactly.
There. Okay. So she sees him over there every day. And she quickly figures out that he eats his lunch next door at the Lazy Beaver Cafe. Oh, and the Lazy Beaver Cafe, famous for miles around for their boxed lunches.
Obviously. Yeah. So, okay, she starts eating lunch at the same time he does every day.
Okay.
Just waltzing in there in, like, her nice international art dealer clothes and taking a seat next to him at the counter.
Oh, that's perfect. And he, of course, is going to be quickly onto her.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to get very little ground. Okay, so can we have him scooting down the counter to the next free seat with her nonchalantly scooting next to him?
Yeah.
And then he does it again, and so does she, and on and on and on until to get to where there's no more stools, so he just falls on the ground on his keister. But instead of getting up, he just simply slaps his big meaty paw up on the counter and pulls his box down to his lap to eat it. Comfy? She asks him knowingly.
Oh, God.
And then he just grunts.
Well, yeah. What is he going to do? Okay, but I the know. Next day, he comes in for lunch and he sits down right next to her.
Oh.
Okay, because he's so big. Yeah. They're, like, all pressed together on that side. And there's, like, you couldn't put a credit card between them, right?
No,
and so he gives her this look like he's just daring her to move. So, of course, she absolutely is not going to move.
Oh, no. So they're going to end up eating their lunch like that. Both of them basically unable to use, like, one arm because there's no room to move. So clearly The Rock has run this round, right? He's won it. Although, she doesn't realize the full extent of his plan until he gets up to leave to go back to work, and she notices the sleeve of her beautiful, expensive New York City international art dealer blouse is now covered with dust and grime from rubbing up against him.
Oh, my God. Yes, The Rock, you win this round, sir. So, luckily for her, though, after years of planning and raising money for this community center,
right,
Beaver Valley is still in the process of raising funds for other things for the community center, like the baseball diamond or whatever. So,
yes.
Every week there's some kind of town function to go to, which The Rock always attends, being the upstanding citizen he is. So, Haley goes too, obviously because of the plan.
Right. The plan. Because of the plan, she goes to the pie-eating contest and the three-legged race. So basically, we end up with this great montage of these happy moments where Haley is actually forming friendships with people in town. And they all keep mentioning it to The Rock, how she seems to be fitting right in.
Oh, can you imagine him gritting his teeth every time somebody mentions this, right? This woman is like the bane of his existence. So, meanwhile, he's trying to hold firm on this, but, you know, he just keeps seeing her around and people keep talking about it. Mm. And, you know, he starts to kind of notice how pretty she is. And, you know, she's just so direct and smart and savvy, and it's kind of adorable that she's never had biscuits and gravy before. And then, like, one time at a town picnic, she tries to eat ribs with a knife and fork, just looking like completely adorably flummoxed that she's expected to use her hands for this. And he tries to continually remind himself that she is the enemy. Okay,
yes,
she thinks his heart art is a commodity, which offends him to the very core. Doesn't it?
Oh, yes, it does. And he will go to his grave insisting that is so.
Yeah.
Except, okay, one day she's not at her usual place at the counter at the Lazy Beaver Cafe. And when he asks around, he finds out she sprained her ankle helping the ladies of the VFW water the flowers in the streetlight planters.
As you do.
Yes. So he buys her a box lunch. He pretends he doesn't know exactly what she likes. He knows exactly what she wants to eat. He asks Judith behind the counter to give him, whatever she usually gets.
Judith is not fooled.
Oh, no, not for one second.
So he heads on over to the Shady Meadow, and yeah. he finds her, like, in the downstairs sitting room with her foot mm-hmm. propped up on a little stool, and he just happened to bring his own box lunch as well.
Oh.
I mean, he's on a schedule. He has to get back to work. So sure. they sit and eat together, and he asks about her ankle, and then clearly she doesn't know anything about taking care of this. So later, when he's done stonemasoning, he comes back right. with an ace bandage.
Oh, my gosh. And he's taught her about rice.
Yes.
Rest, ice, compression, and elevation. Listen to the man, Haley. This is his wheelhouse, I feel.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, luckily for us, her yes. ankle is all better in time for the next fundraiser, which is okay. a barbecue chicken dinner followed by a dance in the church basement.
That is so perfect. Okay. In Beaver Valley, they have a tradition, sort of like the King's Cake for Mardi Gras, where the cake has something baked into it for people to find.
Oh, my God.
A little golden beaver figurine in this case. Right?
Yes. Brilliant. Okay. Two of them. And the two people who find the golden beavers are then partners in the golden beaver dance. Which they dance all alone out on the floor while everybody else stands and watches.
Oh my gosh. I'm never going to be able to guess who gets the golden beavers, am I?
Never in a million years. Okay, it's them. They get
right,
the golden
right,
beavers.
Right, right,
okay.
right.
So, of course, it's a slow dance.
Yes.
And they're kind of just moving around the floor barely in that way you do when you don't really know how to slow dance.
Right, right, right.
And they laugh and talk and ice kind of melts, and they realize they kind of like each other, and then maybe there's almost a kiss, but then they suddenly remember, you know, they're being watched by everybody, and actually they're supposed to be enemies, so they break apart all flustered, and then they don't make eye contact for the rest of the night.
Oh, break my heart.
I know.
Okay, so neither of them is going to mention it, but
no.
everyone else in town does repeatedly, constantly, sure do make a nice looking couple. The guy who runs the gas station says, look like you two were enjoying that dance, the town librarian says. Just all the time, right. everywhere they go.
Yeah, subtlety, clearly an art form in Beaver Valley.
Right, right.
But maybe it kind of works. Like, maybe yeah. they both start to think,
right.
You know, but then, conflict.
Oh, okay.
There's an auction at the VFW post to raise money for the new baseball diamond, and one of the Rock's pieces is in it because he donated it months ago and totally forgot about it until they wheel it out, right? And okay. then Haley bids on it.
Betrayal. The Rock cannot believe this. He thought they were friends.
Yep.
He told her about his heart art. He thought that maybe, well, there was that magical golden beaver dance, or so he thought.
So he thought.
So he angrily begins bidding on it. His own piece.
What?
Because he will be damned if she gets it.
That's right.
Mrs. McGillicuddy had admired it once, so he can buy it and give it to her.
Okay, genius. I love this. Okay, so then they get into a bidding war.
Naturally.
Right?
Yes.
The entire town is watching these two idiots just in resigned bemusement as the bids just go higher and higher and higher.
Right. Oh, but then everybody there stops being amused because the price is now up to like 20,000, then it gets to 30,000.
Ouch. Yeah, so they know The Rock can't actually afford this because, no. let's be honest, heart art doesn't pay all that well.
unfortunately.
Right? She's an international art dealer, and he's a small-town stonemason, so...
Right. So, okay, so eventually the auctioneer just cuts in, declares Haley the winner to save the Rock's butt. Okay.
Phew.
So the Rock, furious about his heart art, immediately storms out of the VFW, leaving Haley the victor.
Oh, so she's standing there, mm-hmm. the crowd slowly petering out because, ooh. Of course, this was the last item to be auctioned. Mm-hmm. And Judith from the diner, right.
Yes.
She comes up to Haley and she congratulates her in a way that Haley immediately recognizes actually means you have effed up, girlfriend.
Judith, very, very wise.
She is.
Okay, so she has been the closest thing Haley has had to a friend in this whole town. So Haley admits that while she's, you know, technically won, she got what she came for. It's going to be a victory that feels a little hollow.
Oh, man. And yeah. Judith, who has known right? the Rock since he was in diapers, tells mm-hmm. Haley she should at least talk to him before she leaves town, right? You can't just, like, have this be the end. So.
Oh, no. Yeah, right.
Haley promises that she will, but then the Rock does not come to the Lazy Beaver the next day for lunch.
Oh.
Oh, I know. It hurts.
The whole day passes. Oh. And they don't see each other or speak.
Oh, this is terrible.
But Haley is leaving town the next day with the Rock's heart art. And they are out of time.
They are out of time. This is a tragic story. The sun goes down.
Okay.
Cut to shots of them, him at his house, okay. her at the Shady Meadow B&B, staring out their windows at the rain, because obviously it's raining. It's all very, very sad.
Okay, so the next day, Haley goes to the VFW to supervise the packing and the transport of the piece, right? This is like the hottest piece of art in the art world right now, so it has to be given the utmost care and concern. Right. And the Rock is there. He's just standing there, staring at it.
Oh.
His hands are in his pockets, and he's looking kind of dusty from doing, you know, stonemason things earlier that day.
Oh, God. So she sees him there. She yeah. tells the guys to just give him a minute. And they all kind of put down their stuff and file out, giving each other these knowing looks.
Right. She walks up to him. She stands next to him. And she's picturing his thoughts. Trying to picture this piece of art in a gallery somewhere, completely detached from this place and this man. And it just seems so wrong.
Oh, it's so wrong.
She knows. She knows. She can't leave with it. So she looks over at him and she says, I've changed my mind. Buyer's remorse. I'll sell it to you for $1.
Oh, that is beautiful. That is beautiful. Unfortunately, the Rock looks over at her and does the Rock eyebrow.
Oh, yes.
And he says, are you crazy? I don't want this thing. And you're definitely not getting your 40 grand back because we need that baseball diamond.
Oh, she is outraged by this.
Outraged.
She's trying to be a good person here. Until he starts talking about all the good he realizes he could do for the town with the money from his art.
Yes.
Maybe new football uniforms. Yep. A nice new band shell in the park. So he could actually, you know, quit the stonemason thing and finally travel. Maybe even go to New York City.
No. I mean, yes. yes.
Right?
And so Haley's like, I don't know, it's a big place, you need somebody to show you around. And the Rock kind of sighs and he says, yeah, it's too bad I don't know anyone.
Oh. They smile at each other. At this, the Rock, he tentatively reaches out. He strokes the back of his knuckles down her cheek. She sighs into his touch. And then they kiss!
Yes, finally the kiss.
Okay, so they finally kiss, and then they agree to give the piece to Mrs. McGillicuddy, because, you know, she'll give it a good home.
That is perfect, perfect. Loose ends tied. All right, we got them together. We got right. the hard art taken care of.
Perfect.
The community center will eventually get built.
Done.
And this movie about the romance between a stonemason and a hard-nosed art buyer would obviously be named...
Oh, A Rock and a Hard Place.
Yes! The end!
Well, I mean, until next time, right?
Right, right. I mean, there's definitely going to be a next time. And in fact, you can join us every Monday to find out which two actors will be subject to our wishful thinking this time and who will end up in Beaver Valley next.
Yay! And be sure to check out our blog, okaybutlistenpodcast.tumblr.com, for updates and insights and relevant links and our next episode. And we'll see you then. Thanks. Bye.